Let's continue study the book of Zechariah. In the last section, we studied chapter 9 from verse 11 to 17. Let's continue Zechariah chapter 9. Verse 11 to 17, God will redeem. First, we mentioned that he made covenant with blood through the blood of Jesus Christ. So this is a covenant of life because blood represents life. And this is a covenant, priceless covenant, because life is without price. So the most precious gift we receive is the covenant we make with the Lord Jesus Christ, because this is a covenant made by his blood. And because of this covenant, even though we are sinners, now we belong to him. Since we belong to him, so in the eyes of God, we become very precious. So if you read chapter 9, verse 16, and the Lord their God will save them in that day as the flock of his people. And for they shall be like the jewel of a crown, the Israelite, the chosen people in that time, or the members in TJC, the chosen people in New Testament time, will be like a jewel of a crown. Do you know a crown, right? Just like a queen of United Kingdom, the queen, the crown has a lot of very huge jewel or diamond, very expensive one, the jewel of a crown. Did it like a banner over his land. The banner is some kind of represent authority and glory. So we should not look down upon ourselves, do you know? Sometimes people like to feel that they have a low self-esteem, right? Do you have a low self-esteem? Look very low about yourself, right? Actually, in the eyes of God, we are very precious. Have you ever had an idea of committing suicide? Have you ever think about committing suicide? Anyone? Raise your hand. One, two. So many of you have ever think about committing suicide. Do you know after you commit suicide, where are you going to go? Hell. You're not going to see God. You know? After you commit suicide, you thought you'd resolve your problem, but all of a sudden, who is waiting for you? Satan is waiting for you in the hell. So we should not ever think about that. Why? Because in the eyes of God, you're so precious. Do you know? A jewel in the crown, so precious. The pupil in the eye, so precious. So even though you have problem, right? But if you rely on God, consistently pray on God, all the problem can be resolved. Every problem God will help us to resolve because we are so precious. How precious we are in the eyes of God. Can you use one sentence to describe how precious we are in the eyes of God? Hey, sister, how precious we are in the eyes of God? Oh, we talk about almost one section already. How precious we are in the eyes of God. Use one sentence to describe how precious it is in the eyes of God. Like jewel, okay. Any other? Jewel still has its price, right? If you 1 million, you can buy a very big carat, right, of diamond. Right? How precious we are in the eyes of God. Apple in the eyes. But right now, if apple impaled, you still can use an artificial one, right? How precious we are in the eyes of God. We are so precious that he died for us, used his blood to make covenant with us. And When you talk about blood, that is priceless, right? Life is priceless. So remember, in the eyes of God, we are so precious. He used his life to redeem us. Since God used his life to redeem us, so we are so precious, God is going to take care of us. So when you encounter something difficult, don't think about kill yourself. That's the work of Satan, do you know? Think about God love me so much, and he will help me to resolve my problem. I think in a positive way, because we know whom we are. Okay? If you have no salvation, all right? Or if you already commit sin totally dead spiritually, maybe it makes sense to commit suicide, right? Because sooner or later, you're going to be together with Satan, right? But if you are children of God, never think about this. Now, we come back to chapter 9. Chapter 9, the last verse. Number 4, the chosen will be triumphed, will be victorious. For how great is its goodness, and how great is beauty. Goodness and beauty. A grain shall make the young man thrive. You're going to have to eat a lot of good food. And the new wine, the young woman. So this is used what? Beauty, goodness, right? Grain and wine to represent the blessing of God. He tried to nourish us with his double blessing. Right? It's so great. So we are pursuing God, we are pursuing his blessing. Now, we go into chapter 10. Any question so far? Chapter 10. So from chapter 9 onwards, the Bible has double meaning. The first meaning is historical meaning, which means what God was going to do to his people in the time of Zechariah. The second meaning is spiritual meaning. The spiritual meaning is what God is going to do to us through Jesus Christ. So when we read the book of Zechariah, you can think about the meaning in that time, and also you can interpret, have some insight of the meaning for us nowadays. Because the temple of God, we already mentioned so many times, represent the true church in the later day. And we are part of the true church. So this chapter is very meaningful to us. Chapter 10. Let's see chapter 10. Chapter 10 talk about the coming of the Holy Spirit and the salvation of the chosen. Chapter 10, verse 1. Ask the Lord for rain in the time of the later rain. The Lord will make a flashing cloud, and he will give them shower of rain, grass in the field, for everyone. Rain. You know the importance of rain, right? If we have the field, you need to have water. And where comes the water? The water comes from the rain, right? In the summertime, if you drive around from South Cow to North Cow, you're going to see what's the difference of the mountain. The mountain in South Cow just like an older man, bald head. All right, because no rain, so all the grass die, and the North Cow, the mountain looked like a middle-aged person. It's not totally bald, right? But a little bit bald, right? But if you fly to the East Coast, all of a sudden you see so green, right? Because it's more water. So we know understand the importance of water. If there is no water, and they will have no harvest in the field. Even the snow is very important. You know, the you look into the north part or LA area, right? In the winter time, all the top of the mountain is in white color. What is that? That white color is snow. When it has heavy snow, right? In the summertime, the snow will melt it to become the water, and that water become your drinking water. So God used the rain and used the snow to provide water for us, to provide the grain for us. Through the water, the field can be cultivated. If you drive all the way five before you reach to San Francisco, right, you see all the left side and right side, all are the field, plant field. They plant the corn, they plant all different kind of vegetable potato or grapes. All the field, sometimes you can see the they use some kind of mechanical system to sprinkle the field. So the plant can continue to grow. So verse 1, we can understand the importance of rain in our daily life. Rain make the field to have harvest. Without rain, there will be drought, and there will be no harvest, and we are going to have famine, and eventually we'll die. Now, this is the so-called literal meaning. Now we go into the spiritual teaching. What does field represent? What does the rain represent? What does the grain represent? Let me read one verse and to see where can you find it. If you can find it, you are very familiar with the Bible. If you cannot, why not make up your mind to read Bible more? So next year you come, you can find it. Verse 25. I will make a covenant of peace with them and cause the wild beast to cease from the land. And they will dwell safely in the wilderness and sleep in the wood. 26. I will make them and the place all around my hill a blessing. And I will cause shower to come down in their season. There shall be shower of blessing. 27. Then the tree of the field shall yield their fruit, and the earth shall yield their increase, and they shall be safe in their land, and they shall know that I am the Lord. And then I have broken band of their yoke and delivered them from the hand of those who enslaved them. So where that? Ezekiel chapter 34. Oh, thank God, you are very familiar with the Bible. Are you coming from Concordance? No, if you don't know Concordance, you can find it. Thank God. But if you, I read so many verses, right? You can never even find one place in the Bible, right? That means you need to read the Bible more. So far, I have gone through about 4 to 5 different verses. Right? If you cannot find it, you need to read the Bible more. Let's come to Ezekiel chapter 34. Ezekiel chapter 34, verse 25. I will make a covenant of peace with them. So the covenant of blood is a covenant of peace. It's a covenant of the kingdom of God. And cause a wild beast to cease from the land. Because of peace, the wild beast is not coming to destroy them. And the wild beast can also refer to what? Satan. And they will dwell safety in the wilderness and sleep in the wood. Safety come from where? Come from the abidance of God. If God abides in us, we are very safe. Just like in the book of Job, right? the Satan accused Job, and Satan said, if you remove all the fans out of Job, right, and he is going to what? Desert you. Oh. The fans. Even the Satan know, right? Job had an invisible fence in his life. And what was the invisible fence? Eh? Do you know what I'm talking? Yeboji. Eh? I can Job chapter 1. Job chapter 1, verse 9 and 10. Job chapter 1, verse 9 and 10. So Satan answered the Lord, say, does Job fear God for nothing? Verse 10. Have you not made a hedge around him, or a fence, right? Around his household and around all he has on every side. And you have blessed them the work of his hand, and his possession have increased in the land. So even Satan knew that God has made a hedge or a fence surrounding Job. So what that fence represent? That fence is not really there was a material fence there. Their fence means the protection of God. God used an angel to protect them. So this is come. This is a guarantee of the peace. So today, when we go out, how come you can be very peaceful, right? Because God sent angel to protect you. If there's no God, if God did not allow it, does not allow it, nothing is going to happen to you. Oh, so this is coming from security, the feeling of security. Then come back to Ezekiel chapter 34, verse 26. And I will make them and the place all around my hill a blessing. You know, the places all around my hill. My hill represent what? Church. Hill means a little bit higher, right? When you go to the mountain, you climb up the hill. So this represents the church. All the places surrounding the church is a blessing. So church is a place of blessing. And I will cause shower to come down in their season, and there will be shower of blessing. So shower and blessing come together. So shower actually represent the Holy Spirit, because shower come down the water, and water causes the tree to grow. So this is a blessing. Verse 27. Then the tree of the field shall yield their fruit, and the earth shall yield their increase, and they shall be safe in their land, and they shall know that I am the Lord. So after they harvest all this kind of increase of the fruit and harvest, and that they shall know I am the Lord. So I am the Lord come from their experience of God's blessing. So they really realize God is the Lord. And then I will break the band of their yoke and deliver them from the hand of those who enslave them. They are going to be free. They are going to be saved. And they are going to be abundant. And this is a promise of God. So after we come back to Zechariah chapter 10, verse 1. Zechariah chapter 10, verse 1. And God is going to send down the little rain. We know the little rain represents Holy Spirit. Earlier rain, 早于圣灵, little rain, 晚于圣灵. There are two raining seasons in the promised land, Canaan. Two raining seasons. The first raining season is for them to sow the seed. The second raining season, not long after the second raining season, is a time for them to do the harvest. So the later rain come, and that was a time for them to have harvest. So in the book of Zechariah chapter 10, we know it's talk about rebuilding the fallen temple. However, in chapter 10, talk about the later rain. Then we know the Holy Spirit came down to the world the second time in the beginning of 20th century, and this is the later rain. And the later rain come down, so God is going to come for the harvest very, very soon. So when the later rain come, the true church been established. The true church is the ark of the later days. When the true church been established, that is the beginning of the end time. So we are in the time of later rain. So this is a prophecy right now being fulfilled. And the Lord will make flashing cloud and give shower of the rain and grass of the field for everyone. So shower of blessing. So everything can grow in the field. So our heart is just like a field. You know, if we only discern the truth without prayer, sometimes the power is not so, the transformation will not so great. Why? Because our heart is hardened. Do you know? A lot of people pass hardened. If your heart is hardened, when you listen to the words of God, the seed, the living words of God, the seed with life, fall into the hardened ground, nothing is going to happen. So you only listen to the words of God, you don't want to pray. The transformation is very limited. But when you start to pray, the shower of rain, now the heavy rain, come down your heart. After prayer, your heart has been softened. Because of heavy rain, right? The dry ground, after heavy rain, the dry ground becomes softened. And when your heart becomes softened, then the words of God come into your heart. You will be touched. You will be moved. Your heart will be cut. And you will repent. And you will bear the fruit of the Holy Spirit, or fruit of the words of God. So do you know in the Bible, right? Let me ask you one more time. To see where can you find it? Let me read it. To see where can you find it? Verse 10, for godly sorrow produces repentance, leading to salvation, not to be regretted, but sorrow of the world produces death. Where is this? The Bible. Verse 9, now I rejoice not that you were made sorry, but that your sorrow led to repentance, you were made sorry in godly manner, that you might suffer loss from us in nothing. Verse 9 and verse 10. Where? 2 Corinthians chapter 7. Yes, you're right. So I've been reading so many verses. If you can never find even one verse, right? Please, make up your mind. Read the Bible at least once. So next year you can find more verses. So here talk about godly sorrow. There are two kinds of sorrow. One is worldly sorrow. What is worldly sorrow means? When you see other people use an iPhone, you feel very sorry, right? How come I cannot afford an iPhone? This kind of sorrow will make you not to death, but it will make you feel no good, right? But godly sorrow, where comes the godly sorrow? You listen to the words of God, you feel very sorry about yourself, right? After I've been baptized so many years, I still have a lot of shortcoming I can't improve. I still have a lot of bad habit I cannot remove. I'm still addicted to television. I'm still addicted to internet. So you feel very sorry about yourself. When you feel very sorry about yourself, then you are going to use the action to improve it. Then you are going to bear the fruit. So this is called godly sorrow. And godly sorrow come from where? Come from the words of God. And how can the words of God produce godly sorrow? It's come from the Holy Spirit. So when Holy Spirit fell upon you, you read the words of God, you listen to the words of God, you will be touched. You feel sad about your own spiritual condition. That's godly sorrow. It's good. You produce positive spiritual pursuit. So let's come back to Zechariah chapter 10, verse 1. So in the time of little rain, we have to ask God, right, so he can send down the shower of blessing. Now, chapter 10 from verse 2 to 5. Chapter 2, verse 2 to 5, is talk about, look in teaching material, the Lord is a good shepherd. Chapter 10, verse 2 to 5. Verse 2, all troubled for no shepherd. What kind of life the sheep is going to live without good shepherd? You look into chapter 10, verse 2. For the idol speak delusion, and diviner in vision lie, and tell false dreams. They comfort in vain. Therefore, the people went their way like a sheep, and they were in trouble because there is no shepherd. Okay. So you look into the life without good shepherd, what is going to happen? Every sentence of verse 2, every sentence is in negative side. Right? Delusion. Lie. The second sentence. The third sentence. False dream. The fourth sentence. In vain. The fifth sentence. When their way. The next sentence. In trouble. Right? Nothing is positive. Why? Because no shepherd. So no shepherd is the life. Spiritual life with no shepherd is terrible. And who is the shepherd? Who is the shepherd? Verse 3 to 5. The Lord will take care of his sheep. So shepherd is two meanings. One is a person used by God, just like a pastor in the church. The second is the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Okay? So if we live a life very far away from Jesus Christ, that means we are the sheep wandering around, wandering away from the good shepherd. And then our life will end it like verse 2. Delusion, lie, false dream, in vain, and what? Because this is a life without good shepherd. This is a life without Jesus Christ. Now, if we start to live a life with Jesus Christ as good shepherd, then the life will be different from verse 3 to verse 5. My anger is kindled against the shepherd, and I will punish the goatherd. For the Lord of the host will visit his flock and the house of Judah, and will make them as his royal horse in the battle. Verse 4. From him come the cornerstone, from him the ten peg, from him the battle bow, from him every ruler. Okay. So the Lord is going to make the Israelite like a cornerstone, right? Like a ten peg, like a battle bow. Every ruler together. Right? Verse 5. Verse 5. And they shall be like a mighty man who tread down their enemies, and the mirrors of the street in the battle. They shall fight because the Lord is with them. And their rider on horse shall put to shame. So they are going to be victorious because the Lord Jesus Christ become their shepherd. So this is chapter 10, verse 3 to 5. Today, how can the Lord become our shepherd? You know that Mark chapter 6. Let's see Mark chapter 6. Mark chapter 6, verse 34. Mark chapter 6, verse 34. And Jesus, when he came out, he saw great multitude, and was moved with compassion for them, because they were like a sheep, not having a shepherd. So they began to teach them many teachings. You see, we human beings, every day we look around people, right? But do you know? Different people's heart look at different people, has different feeling. Jesus looked at the people surrounding him. Jesus has compassion to them, for they are like a sheep without shepherd. A sheep without shepherd, what is going to happen? There are a few things going to happen. When the lion comes, there's no protection. When they lack of grass and water, there's no guidance for them to the grass and water. When they get wounded, nobody tries to heal their wound. And then when they gone astray, nobody did them back. So a sheep without a shepherd, that the life is what? Destined to doom, right? The life is doomed. No future at all. So if we live a life without Jesus Christ, sometimes, do you know, even the church have a so-called pastor, full-time minister, right? Like Bowen's Park Church, almost what, 250 people. And then one pastor take care of two churches, including Karonga Park, maybe add up together 300 people. Do you know nowadays, in the Sabbath day, you see a young couple, right? One young couple take care of what? Husband and wife take care of one baby. Right? If they have two babies, they are so busy, they cannot come to church. Can you imagine? One pastor take care of 300 people. How can this possible? Right? Husband and wife take care of one baby, so busy. And one pastor can take care of 300. It's almost impossible. So what is the work of pastor? The work of pastor is try to teach everyone seeking for the help of the greater what? Shepherd. And greater shepherd is Jesus Christ. So the work of the pastor is to bring you, give you guidance so you can get connected with Jesus Christ and let Jesus Christ become your shepherd. This is the work. So when you have Jesus Christ as your shepherd, why? When there's a lion come, there's a protection. Jesus Christ will protect you. He has the power. When you're hungry, thirsty, your life's boring, empty, Jesus Christ can bring you to green pastures, the truth. Jesus Christ can bring you to the water, the Holy Spirit. When you gone astray, Jesus Christ can guide you back. Right? When you are wounded, Jesus Christ can heal you. Do you know? When you are wounded in your heart, right? Sometimes this wound, nobody can heal. Do you know? If you are coming from a broken family, I can understand. When you are coming from a broken family, you lack of love, you lack of that kind of very harmonious family, or that kind of wound and scar in your whole life, or just inflicted you inside your heart, you can never gone away. So this kind of wound, who can heal it? Jesus Christ can heal it. When you pray and pray and pray, you are filled by the love of Jesus Christ, and all that kind of wound will be gone. You will be comforted. So only Jesus Christ can heal your wound inside your heart. So this is a good shepherd. So Jesus Christ, according to Zechariah chapter 10, right? He is going to send the good shepherd. And the good shepherd is Jesus Christ. Then how can we let Jesus Christ become our shepherd? Oh, right? Jesus Christ is ready to become your shepherd right now. How can you let him become your shepherd? How? Huh? Action? Oh, okay. Psalm chapter 23, yes. I shall not want. Huh? Okay. Now, also, let's see. This verse is very simple. Huh? I think most of you can find it. If you really cannot find it, then you have to read the Bible twice. Verse 10. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and they may have it more abundantly. Where it is? Verse 10. Find it. Verse 10. Which word? Huh? Yes. John chapter 10. If you cannot find it, then you have to read the Bible twice when you go back home. Now you read John chapter 10, verse 4. John chapter 10, verse 4. And when he bring out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. How can the sheep follow the shepherd? How? How can the sheep follow the shepherd according to verse 4? For they know his voice. Follow his voice. Oh, the sheep shepherd is going to keep on calling, coming, right? Oh, and the voice is different. So the sheep keep on following. Oh. So what is the voice of Jesus Christ? What is the voice of Jesus Christ? Huh? The voice of Jesus Christ is the teaching of the Bible. The teaching of the Bible is the words of God. It's the voice of God. So how can you let Jesus Christ become your shepherd? You follow his voice. You follow his teaching in the Bible. Right? Now, you do everything. You think about how did Jesus teach us to do, then he will become your shepherd. Even Jesus Christ, you are invisible right now, but everything you try to follow his teaching, then you are under the care of him. You are under the guidance of him. You are under the protection of him. You are under the provision of him. Do you know? So the invisible shepherd today can become your shepherd if you follow his voice. Okay, so you come here, you study so many Bible verses, so many truths, right? When you start to follow Jesus' voice, the teaching of the truth, then you are going to experience Jesus Christ already become your shepherd. Oh. Also, sometimes we are full-time minister, we feel very guilty. Oh, it's really, we feel very guilty because so many work. So many work to do. Sometimes you have to go to IA assignment and come back and this and that. So really, we have very limited time to spend with the members. So whatever we can do is to teach them to follow the voice of Jesus Christ so that Jesus Christ can become the shepherd of everyone. Oh, this is so simple, right? Very simple. Just whatever the Bible says, you follow it, then Jesus Christ is your shepherd. You are going to experience his healing. You are going to experience his guidance. You are going to experience his provision. You are going to experience his protection. And your life will be wonderful. Let me ask you the question one more time. How can you let Jesus become your shepherd? Hey, brother. Hey, brother, how can you let Jesus become your shepherd? Hear his voice. That's all.
follow his voice, or not only hear his voice. A voice is there, right? Jesus is crying, a voice there, and you go that direction. And then it cannot be your shepherd. Or follow his voice. Oh. Now we come back to Zechariah. Zechariah chapter 10. Chapter 10, verse 6 to 12, the Lord will bring his people back. Chapter 10, verse 6 to 12. Verse 6 and 7, the Lord will bring them back. Verse 8 to 12, all nations will perish. Chapter 10, Zechariah. Verse 6 and 7. I will strengthen the house of the Judah, and I will save the house of Joseph, and I will bring them back, because I have mercy on them. And they shall be as though I have not cast them aside, for I am the Lord of their God, and I will be near them. So Jesus Christ said, I will be near them, ready to help them, ready to bring them back. Verse 7. Those of Ephraim will be like a mighty man, and their heart shall rejoice as if with wine. Yes, their children shall see it and be glad. Their heart shall rejoice in the Lord. It's because God is going to bring them back, so they are going to be rejoiced, very happy, very glad. So Lord will bring them back. That one thing we think about it. I know you come from different family. But if you look into your family spiritual condition, right? Some of your sibling does not come to church, right? Some of your parents are not members yet. Or some of your parents, even though a member, just quit the church. So what should you do? Right? So when we come here, we learn about the teaching of the Bible, what should we do? You know, if there is no God, there is no hope. Right? If there is no Jesus, they're just like a sheep without shepherd. That kind of life is endangered. So you, right now, after you've gone through the NYTS training for 2 weeks, you become more mature spiritually. So what should you do? I think you should play the role of the shepherd in your family. You are a small shepherd. Try to bring your family back to the big shepherd so that they can connect it with God. So God can become their shepherd. Your role is just like a watchman. Not only a watchman, your role like a shepherd. Your family, you are the shepherd. Try to pray for them. Use every opportunity to guide them or bring them back to the Lord. And one thing is very important is your transformation of your life. Let's see 1 Peter. 1 Peter. Chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3. First Peter chapter 3, verse 1. Wives, likewise, be submissive to your husband, that even if some do not obey the words, and without a word, may be won by the conduct of their wife. So the question is, after you read this, I ask you a question. What is silence evangelism? Right? When we talk about evangelism, we always talk about what? Open your mouth and speak out and preach, right? And then it seems in verse 1, it says some of the husbands, they just don't obey the word. They don't want to listen to the words of God. So you cannot open the mouth. You open the mouth, they just ask you to shut out your mouth, right? So some of your parents, they just don't want to listen to you. Well, you are the younger one. They are senior one. They deserve your respect. Oh, so how can you win over your parents? This verse tells us there's a silence evangelism. You can win your parents by your deeds. So this verse 1 is not only applied to how the wife can win over the husband. The same vice versa. How can the husband win over the wife? How can the parent win over the children? How can the children win over the parents? Right? By what? Maybe one by the conduct of you. So if you really change, right? Change not only morally, you are very good kids. You know most of your parents care about your academic study. If you are very fervent, after you go back home, your report card, CCCDE. How can you convert your parents? Right? At least you have to do your best. When your parents already see you do your best, and you still have a AABB, that's fine, right? You already do your best. Right? But by the help of God, you do your best. Sometimes God will bless you with a better academic record. So if you study better and then your parents look at you, you study so hard, God bless you, have a better record, right? And your conduct is so good, you are so obedient to your parents, you share the family chore, you are very considerate to your sibling, you are very gentle, very polite. Your parents will be touched. After my children go to the church, you see, they become a different person. So I am going to go to church. However, if you try to convert your parent to the church or bring your parent to the church, but your action is totally different, then it's difficult. Also, right now, you become more mature. Try to serve a shepherd, your own family. Bring them back to the big shepherd. That's your opportunity, and also that's a blessing, and also that's a responsibility. So we finish chapter 10. And tomorrow we'll hear two more sections from chapter 11 to 14. That's praying silence.